Beautiful piece. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been a cold winter, but now it's warmer. It's up in the 30s, and so it's not all that bad, as long as it's moving in the right direction, and the sun is coming up earlier in the morning, and people are starting to feel cheerful about all of this. Sunshine is the crucial thing. They don't measure that in that so-called misery index. They measure snow depth and temperature. But as long as the sun is shining, this keeps us sane here. The hardest winter I ever spent was in Copenhagen, where it was deep clouds and rain for a month and a half at a time. That's hardly bearable. But the sun is what keeps us from going berserk out here on the frozen tundra. We're not running around putting our tongues on pump handles, are we? No, we're not. We're not eating snow out of the wrong places. Nobody is cutting a hole in the ice and jumping in and diving in and swimming to the next hole 30 yards away. Finnish people do that, but we don't do that because the sun comes out here, and that has to be taken into consideration. People who say this is the toughest winter in 35 years, I don't think so. As long as the sun is shining, it's all bearable. Yes, I admit that in Lake Wobegon, Mr. Magandance went out with a flamethrower on Tuesday, and he was just tired of shoveling snow, I guess, and he was trying to melt the ice on his sidewalk, which was treacherous, and Gary and Leroy, the town constables, had to come up and yell at him to stop that. I mean, here he was, had fuel tanks on his back, he's wearing a football helmet, he had this nozzle of shooting 30 feet of flame out in front of him. They yelled at him, and he turned to see who it was, and this flame went shooting towards the cops. They had to duck down behind the car. They called for the fire department. The fire department came. His wife was screaming at him from the house. The siren came screaming up the hill. He kind of got confused, and he dropped the nozzle, and now it was leaping around like a fire-breathing snake all over, and four firemen dashed up and pinned his arms, and they grabbed hold of him. He burned a big hole in his front lawn, and he'd scorched the front of his house, but nobody had really been injured at all, and that did provide entertainment for several days, so you couldn't really be angry at him. But you think, what if it had been cloudy? What would he have done? He would have gone berserk. There would have been a terrible, terrible scene in Lake Wobegon. No, as long as the sun is shining, there's hope for us somehow. Larry, the custodian at Lake Wobegon Lutheran, was trying to chop ice on the sidewalk alongside the church, and he looked through a basement window, and there he saw Mrs. Bradvolt with her dress pulled way up. She was showing other women the bruise that she'd gotten from falling on the ice. And he had never seen her bare legs or seen that she wears lilac underwear. He had never thought about this before. But there she was, and she was holding it up in the sight of those enormous white thighs and the undies and that gorgeous rump where she'd pulled her undies down to show off this purple and green scar. Bruise inflamed his heart, and he was filled with lust for her. Goodness knows what he would have done, but the sun was shining. And so he chopped ice some more, and he went down to his office down in the boiler room, and he laid down and he took a nap. People are sleeping a lot. It's good at this time of year. It helps to pass the time as we wait for more sunlight. Daylight saving time starting tomorrow. Don't forget that. No, Darlene laid down, took a nap in the kitchen of the Chatterbox Cafe. She had just helped unload 600 pounds of coffee in burlap bags, and she laid them down there on the floor, and then she laid down on top of the coffee, and she went to sleep in her starched white uniform when Father Wilmer came in to get a little early supper in between Ash Wednesday services. And he looked around for her. He called her name and went back into the kitchen. And there she was, asleep. He looked at her. He could see that she had not been to Ash Wednesday service. And he did have the materials on him. He does make house calls on Ash Wednesday. And so he leaned down and he made the sign of the cross on her forehead. And he said, "Child, thou art dust, and unto dust thou wilt return. Avoid sin and put your faith in the Lord. Amen." And then he felt inclined towards sin himself. The sleeping woman lying on coffee beans. He felt lust in his heart, and he felt ashamed, and he thought he should fast and not have supper. So he turned to go, and she woke up, and she said, "What can I do for you, Father?" And he thought, why should I allow the pride of penance to prevent this woman from being of service to me, which is what she wants? I'll fast another time. He said, "I like a cheeseburger." And then he felt ashamed. He should fast. And he was going to tell her that, but she was already frying the cheeseburger. He sat there at the counter, smelling it. He had confessed his sins, those he had done and things he had left undone, and he had not loved the Lord with a whole heart, and he had not loved his neighbor as himself, and he was guilty of pride and anger and impatience and guilty of being too taken up with material things. He was guilty of all these things. Ash Wednesday, a day when you have to contemplate this mess that you've made of your life and think about how you might do things a little differently. He enjoyed the hamburger. It was an excellent hamburger. He paid her for it. She tried to turn him down. No, no, no. He paid her. She didn't notice the ashes on her forehead. She did notice that everybody who came in for supper treated her so nicely. They were so kind to her. Mr. Berge, who's such a big tease, looked at her and said, "Darlene," he said, "I've been rotten to you and I know it. I've given you a hard time and I'm so sorry. You really are special. I really care about you." She was so moved. She went back in the bathroom to wash her face, and there was the mark of the cross on her forehead. She's not a churchgoer. She doesn't believe in church. She hates the churchiness of it. And all those hypocrites sitting there and making a big show of sanctimony, all these people who think that two dimes is a pretty good tip, you know, and all these gossipy, selfish people sitting in church and making a show of righteousness. So she never goes. But she started to think twice about it there, looking at that mark on her forehead. Who else will tell you this? Commercials won't tell you this. Politicians won't tell you this. The church tells you it at least once a year. They tell you that we are all made of the same stuff, no matter how much we prize our individuality and set great store by it. Nonetheless, we're all come from the same stuff. And all of the sins that other people commit all around us, we are equally capable of. This is what you learn when the mark is put on you, and we are all headed in the same direction. Who will tell you this truth other than spiritual people? So she thought maybe she'd go to church on Sunday. She'd see how she felt about it. She wasn't absolutely sure. While it was Ash Wednesday, Clint Bunsen was trying to get people to fight back and to fight against the town of Millet nearby, who, he said, at the town council meeting, he stood up and he gave a speech. There they were all sitting, six members of the town council and Mayor Eloise Krebsbach, all of them with ash marks on their foreheads, except for Mr. Berge, who's allergic to church. He got up, Clint did, and he gave a speech. He said, "We've got to do something. Millet, our neighbor in Mist County, is trying to take the county seat away from us. After all of these years, they're sneaking around. And you know who is doing it. It's Eleanor Fleiderscheidt of the Fleiderscheidt family, who has her office right up in the central building on the third floor, right next to that naked sandstone goddess with the bare breasts that we used to be upset about. It's your office right up there, and they're preparing a court suit based on some legislative act back in the 19th century that would make them the county seat. Are we going to let these people get away with this? Millet, think about it. No, all they're going to do is just file this suit in state court. And once they do, then the state of Minnesota will be aware that we exist. You see, Minnesota thinks that it has 87 counties, but actually there are 88, the same as the number of keys on a piano. And Mist County is the smallest county, overlooked because of a surveying error. And once the state of Minnesota becomes aware of us, they're going to send inspectors up here and auditors up here, and they're just going to make our life terribly different. People from occupational safety are going to come up here to teach farmers that manure is slippery, and they ought to wear golf shoes when they're working in the barn. Health department is going to come up. No more potluck suppers up here. All these people are going to come up and lay down rules. The highway department is going to make us cut down all the trees within 50 yards of a highway. No, it's going to be miserable. We've got to do something about this. Now, well, what can we do? They said, well, he said, I'm here to tell you. She has written out the petition, and she put it in a big manila envelope, and she took it down to the post office, and she gave it to Mr. Bowser, who was holding it on my say-so. It's addressed to district court down in St. Paul, and he's holding on to it. And all of us, we need to be united. Go down to the post office tonight, and we'll each take a match, and we'll light that match, and we'll each at the same time put a match to that manila envelope and burn it. They said, well, that'd be against the law. Well, he said, sometimes the law needs to be broken. That's all. Millet, think of it. Millet, the county seat. What sort of example does that set? Our children beat their children in SAT scores 2-1 every year. Our kids go off to college. Their kids go off to unemployment and drinking alcoholic beverages. I mean, they'd have no debate team there. The only thing they have is a football team. And yes, they do beat us because they're filthy, ignorant savages. But we can't let them take the county seat, can we? Well, on Ash Wednesday, evidently we could. It was that spirit of penitence at the wrong time. Meeting was adjourned without action, motion tabled. People went off out into that spring evening, spring in Lake Wobegon. The icicles were dripping, the snow was melting. The snow was perfect for snowballs. The members of the council picked up snow and made it into snowballs in their hands and looked at each other across the street and behind their cars and thought about it for a moment. And then they put them down into the snow. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.